If you could take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 18. And we'll be reading from verses 15 to 35. Okay. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt, because thou desirest me. Thou shouldst not also have compassion on thy servant, thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word and for the men that translated it for us, and for the product we have now. Lord, we just pray as we look into your word concerning forgiveness, Lord. We pray that you would give us understanding of this topic, and we just pray that you would help us to find something that we can apply to our lives from tonight's message, Lord. I just pray for myself, Lord. We pray that you would just calm my nerves, Lord, and that I would be able to speak clearly and just to present what you would have me present tonight. Nothing more, nothing less, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Forgiveness is a vital component in the church's foundation. As Christians, we are forgiven by God and, in turn, are called to forgive others. However, too often we misunderstand forgiveness, practicing concepts foreign to biblical truth. As Christians, we need to forgive in the way Christ forgave. Does our church have a proper understanding of the proper way to forgive? Sadly, many churches, ours probably included, hinder forgiveness by misunderstanding what forgiveness is, the role of the offended, and the role of the offender. As we progress, we will look at each of these points in depth, and hopefully by the end of tonight, we will have a better understanding of forgiveness and our role in it. So, what is forgiveness? The Oxford definition of forgiveness is the act of ceasing to feel angry or resentful towards someone. But does this definition accurately describe what forgiving is? When the Lord Jesus forgave us, did he simply cease to feel angry and resentful towards us? The definition describes a feeling, but forgiveness isn't a feeling. After a strenuous maths class at school, I begin to feel hungry because I need food. But when I'm sick with a cold, I don't feel hungry, even if I haven't eaten in 6 hours. Feelings change easily, but especially when circumstances change, yet the need doesn't. If forgiveness isn't a feeling, then what is it? If we boil away at forgiveness, and taking away all those extra parts that we've associated with it, we are left with one raw element. Forgiveness is a promise. It is a promise never to bring up a brother or sister's sin against them, whether in their presence, among other friends, or alone in your thoughts. Forgiveness, however, is not an end itself, but is a mean to an end. It should clear the rubble of a broken relationship, so a fresh, strengthened relationship may be built in its place. Forgiveness is a way to show love, as love is giving, even when we don't feel like it. So, what is the role or duty of someone when they've been offended? Now, wait just a minute. Shouldn't we talk about the offender first? I mean, considering they're the ones that have sinned? It would make sense that way, but what if the offender doesn't realise they've offended you? Consider this situation. You've just finished listening to a message that has greatly blessed you. Encouraged, you begin to stand up to talk to a friend sitting nearby, only to be bumped back down and have your toes flattened on by Duncan as he passes. As he passes by you without even saying sorry or acknowledging your presence. Now, you have a choice to make. You could choose to blow up in anger, losing your temper and probably shouting at him as he makes his way out the door, alerting everyone to your pain and anger. You could hold a pity party, seeking comfort from your nearby friends as you massage your sore, flattened toes. You could decide to be a little more pious about it and gossip, just warning your friends about Duncan and just to wear steel cap boots to church from now on. But what does that accomplish? Well, you could tarnish Duncan's reputation or damage your own testimony. If we decide to remain calm, however, we might have a little more success. As a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You find Duncan out at his car in the car park. Being careful not to reflect an angry tone, you ask him if everything was all right, politely inquiring as to why he stepped on your shoes. "Oh, I'm so sorry that happened," he replies. "It's just that I've had this horrible cold all week, and I thought since it was getting better that I didn't need to bring a box of tissues with me, but I only just got through that last hymn before I couldn't hold it in any longer." Looking back to our main passage in Matthew 18, let's read from verse 15 to 17. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take thee one or two more, that in the word, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. The role of the offended person is to go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Don't tell anyone else about it. Go straight to him and talk to him privately. Rebuke him in love, cautiously maintaining your own testimony before God and before him. If he repents, it is your obligation to forgive him, promising never to bring the matter up again. If he refuses to repent, you need to take one or two other brethren to confront the offender. Again, if he repents, you must forgive him. However, if he refuses to repent yet again, bring the matter before the church, probably through an elder, deacon, or pastor who will have authority yet wisdom to address the matter before the church. If the offender repents, forgive him. But if he continues to refuse repentance, the church will need to take action to deal with the matter, putting the offender out of the church until he repents, and helping to restore him when he does repent. If you could look at verses 21 to 22 of our passage in Matthew 18. Okay. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Here Peter asks the Lord how many times he is obligated to forgive someone before refusing forgiveness. He even makes what he thinks is a generous offer of 7 times. The Lord Jesus, however, takes Peter's offer, squares it, and then multiplies it by 10, leaving 490 times. The Lord is saying to Peter, even if your brother punches you in the nose and repents, and even if he does it to you again and again and again, until your nose looks nothing like a nose, yet still repents, you need to forgive him. But maybe consider getting an NFL helmet. Even after you've realigned your nose for the 489th time, you still need to forgive the offender as if it's the first time they've repented. Change doesn't happen overnight, so don't expect it to. When the offender has repented and the ball is in your court, there are some things to watch out for. Don't try to understand the offence, empathising with the sinner in the act he's committed. While we're all sinners, that's just the wrong way to go about it. Don't minimise the offence, saying things like, it's okay, or it's not that bad. This will only lead to further problems, as you have said the sin is not that bad, and you have replaced an offer of forgiveness with something contrary to God's word, leaving the brother or sister still guilt-laden and burdened with sin. Also, after being offended, don't wave the matter away, saying that the offender knows you've forgiven them. Otherwise, you're saying there's no need to repent. And God didn't do that with us. When you've been sinned against by an elder or someone in a position of authority, don't be afraid to confront them, because it would be out of place. But remember to confront them in love and respectfully. 1 Timothy 5:11 says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him or beseech or implore him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. Don't be afraid to confront an elder, but do it as if you're talking about the issue to your dad. So now we see the role of the offended is to go to the offender and confront them in love about the offence, forgiving them when they repent, promising never to bring the matter up again. Now we move on to the offender and their role in all this. When you are the offender, your role is to simply repent to whoever you offended. Ideally, with that person coming to confront you about what you've done and you going to them, you should meet roughly halfway. But when we sin against a brother or sister, we not only sin against just them, but we sin against our Heavenly Father. We should confess our sin to God before meeting with the one we've offended, assuring the brother or sister that you have made things right with God and would like to do the same with them. Don't repent to one and not the other, because the fact still stands. You have offended multiple people when you offended that one brother or sister. If you refuse to repent, you place yourself in eventual danger of church discipline, and you strain your relationship with God. Even if the offender doesn't take the action necessary in confronting you, your heart will grow harder, and the Lord may have to himself discipline you. Don't wave the matter away, just like the offended person. By doing that, saying that they already know you're sorry. By doing that, you shoot yourself in the foot, because you are refusing the opportunity to be free from your burden of sin and guilt. So, let's just assume that you do repent. What are some things that you should watch out for if you're the offender? It is interesting to note that the word apologize comes from the Greek word apologia, I think that's how you say it, which means a defense. In the basic sense of the word, an apology is backing out of the matter, perhaps shifting the blame or justifying your sin. And you can almost imagine a courtroom. You go to apologize to someone and suddenly you've got a lawyer here, you've got your judge over there, you've got the prosecutor and all that. The Lord doesn't want any of that. He wants it just between you and the one you've offended and the truth. A true statement of confession admits the wrongdoing and asks for forgiveness from the person they've offended. But what about sins done in secret? Do I have to confess those? What won't it make things awkward between us? Those are good questions, and I'm glad you asked. When it comes to sins committed in the heart or in regards to your thoughts, you need to, of course, confess it to God because you have offended him. But you probably shouldn't confess it to a brother or sister, as it will create unnecessary hurt and possibly additional sin. For example, I've read about cases where someone has been sinning in their own mind against someone else, and they've gone and confessed to this person what they were doing, and it just, the person broke down in tears at the just hearing about it, and they just created unnecessary problems for both of them. However, physical sins committed against someone in secret, for example, adultery, must be confessed. But perhaps consult with a pastor or elder about the matter before talking to the one whom you have offended. You don't want to go about things like this spiritually unprepared, especially for situations like this, but it applies to all situations. Be prepared to accept whatever consequences come. If you've stolen something, be prepared to pay back the person with interest. Just like Zacchaeus paid back those many people who he'd stolen from with interest. I forget exactly how much, but it was a lot for him. If you've offended your wife, be prepared to sleep on the lounge for a while, although hopefully it won't get that bad. So the role of the offender now is to go to the ones whom they've offended and repent, asking for forgiveness. Don't justify your sin and be prepared to accept the consequences, no matter how high they may be. Considering these points we've looked at, what forgiveness is, the role of the offended and the role of the offender, we should have a decent understanding now of how forgiveness works and what our part in it is. Hopefully, our church will be able to better apply these things we looked at, creating stronger relationships as brethren, not being torn apart from each other. In conclusion, and I know it's been a bit of a short message, but that's okay. If you could turn to Micah chapter 7, verses 18 to 20. Where we find a perfect example for us to follow in forgiving others. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 to 20. Okay. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we've looked at tonight, and just for the example that you have given us regarding forgiveness. And we thank you for the way that, as undeserving as we are, that you forgave us while we were still in our sin, Lord. We just pray that our church would be a forgiving church, Lord, not one where relationships are torn apart by offences, simple, complicated, or even just misunderstandings, Lord. But we pray that we would, as believers, that we would seek to strengthen our relationships with each other, and forgiving as you forgave us, Lord. We just pray that you would bless us as we seek to forgive others as you forgave us, Lord, and as you continue to forgive us. And we just pray that we would understand, as we need forgiveness every day, Lord, that we would be prepared to offer forgiveness to our fellow believers even every day, Lord. We pray, as we make our way home tonight, we just pray that you'll give us safety and a good night's rest, Lord. We pray these things now, in Jesus' name, amen.